Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, we are on the slope down to the end of the year. We are like,
oh my goodness.
three weeks away from a brand new year. I think that's what it is. Yeah, about 3 weeks. And half of those weeks are gone anyways, because they're due to holidays. Yeah, there's next week, that week. There's 3 weeks, right? Whatever. There should be 3 weeks left in December.
There's 26 days, right, left to the end of the year. So that would be close to 4 weeks almost.
Including this week. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, including this week that we are currently on. We are currently recording on a Sunday. So yes, so there are 4 weeks left. But in my mind, two of those weeks are basically gone because they're taken up by Christmas and the New Year's. And I don't know if you have class off, but I have at least half of the weeks off from work. So in my mind, it's already the new year, which is a welcome and also kind of scary, because where did the last 3 months go? October, November, December, which is like, bye. Well, I'm speaking a little early on December's behalf, but it went by really fast. But Renee, how have you been this last week? We are now in between holidays. So, and it sounds like things are starting to pick up with you school-wise. So what is your status update?
Yes, my status update is one of stress, both good and bad, and just being hyper-focused on school right now. We are in, basically, this is our last real week of school. We do have final, like undergrads have finals the following, but graduate students, usually this week is where everything's due, right? We usually have some things that linger on to the following week. But for me, this week is where the bulk of everything that I have is due. Presentations, research projects, team projects, exams. I mentioned, I think before, that I'm doing my qualifying exams and they're this Friday. So that's like on top of all the schoolwork that I normally do, right? That's just a progression of my program. So all that's happening. So I'm a little bit, I was just sharing with Dustin before we started recording that I am literally jumping from assignment to teamwork to assignment and just taking breaks. But that's going to be my week. I am really excited though, because with the week coming to an end, whether I like it or not, or whether my products look good, they're going to be submitted. And my winter break will start the following week. If I'm really lucky, it'll start this Friday. If I semi-lucky, it'll start the following Friday. So either way, my break's coming up and I'm really excited / just hyper-focused. How about you, Dustin? How is life on your end going?
It's going well. Like, work is going well. It's super busy. We are trying to wrap up some of our spring concepts before we go off on our own little kind of time off. So that way we can come back to the new year and full speed ahead with a lot of exciting things planned for 2022. So I'm excited to keep it busy, and we'll be back in the office in January. So we'll see. Well, we'll see if that still stands, because apparently there's a new strain of the coronavirus going around, the Omicron. So we'll see how that happens, because we have been very, very conservative when it comes to reopening our office building. So the last time when the Delta variant was kind of all over the place, we kind of pushed back re-entering. So at this point, I haven't heard any updates. So we'll just see what happens. But we're very nimble. We could do a lot of our jobs from our homes, which we've done the last 2 years now. So that's fine. So that's not causing me stress. I just don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in the air. I don't know if there's a glitch in my kind of Scorpio vibes or senses in the cosmos, or I don't know. But I have just been very moody lately. And I've been keeping it to myself, which probably isn't good, because I have a bad habit of bottling up certain emotions and then they come exploding on the nearest innocent bystander. So that hasn't happened yet, but I need to find a release for it, whether it's working out, whether it's something like that. But I need to figure out something, because I can feel me getting moodier and moodier. I think what's contributing to that is my caffeine intake, because I've been super, not stressed, but I've been having a lot to do lately, both work and personal wise. So I've been trying to keep my energy up. But for me, like I've said before, caffeine sometimes makes me sleepy. So I have to like double up on it, which doesn't necessarily help my anxiety all the time either. So I think that might be a contributor to it. But then something else that's also contributing is, I think, I don't know, I don't watch the news as it's happening. I kind of get my intake of news from social media, which is both good and bad, because you either get bombarded with like negative things or it's just overly positive, I found. And so I've just been finding a lot of stuff in the news lately, just really, I don't know, frustrating. And it's just, it's one of those things where I might need to go on another social media fast because it's just a lot right now. Another reason why my emotions are kind of all over the place is because, as I think we mentioned back in April, one of the Bachelor contestants who recently came out is Colton Underwood. And at the same time, he announced that he was going to do a Netflix series. And at the time, I wasn't sure exactly where his intentions were going to be, but it came out this past Friday and I decided to binge it. And I feel like there's a lot of great tidbits in there, especially when it comes to queer people of faith trying to navigate where they fit in exactly. Yes, we need to acknowledge that he is one of many white voices that are given a platform, and he has a background that kind of shows some sort of past transgressions that he does need to call for. But I do feel like it is a great resource to take in if you feel like you need another sort of perspective on something. And it's just not him talking. He has a bunch of other perspectives that he brings to the table. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm going to let people watch it and kind of feel it for themselves. But I generally feel like it's a great sort of resource to kind of take in, kind of go in it with open eyes and not, don't have any sort of expectations when it comes to watching it, and just see what you feel getting out of it. But I feel like it's a really great resource, especially for those queer people of faith trying to navigate through their life.
If I may add too, in addition to that, like, it's kind of like similar sentiments with Love, Simon. A lot of people criticized because it was another white man's voice being lifted up. But at the same time, it was the first time we really got a chance to see the experience, the queer experience in a theatrical release of that level. And I think any mile marker that's made, sometimes we maybe don't have the best individuals representing something, like, you know, what was his name? Colton Underwood?
Underwood, yeah.
Underwood, Colton Underwood. So maybe not everybody will agree with what they see on the show, but it is another opportunity to show that hopefully is waking up Hollywood and the media industry to hopefully soon, rather sooner than later, right? Start involving, like you said, more voices and we'll be able to see more and more and more things being included. So I think it's awesome that you brought that up, considering that it is something that is being viewed and observed by the queer community, and it has an aspect of faith, which is what our podcast does explore.
Yeah. And again, is he the person that should have been giving this platform at the time? Is there some people, namely Michael Sam, who is a person of color that came out before him? Should they have been given a platform before? Yes. And hopefully they'll be given one in the future. But I just don't want all the negative sort of comments or critiques surrounding this to turn people off from this possible extra resource, because I think it's a great thing to kind of talk about. But also something else that kind of made me, my mood swings of this past weekend, which is a more positive thing too, is my sister and her family, my brother-in-law and nieces and nephews, this year for Christmas, they decided to gift me with like this advent calendar, which I think is really fun. I've been posting some things on my Instagram about the different things, but
if you haven't seen it, you need this advent calendar. I want one. I've already offered money, but Dustin doesn't want to give it. So,
well, no, it's just, I don't know how she created it, because it came in just a normal box, but it's these individual little like tea bags. They look like little gift bags, but they're the size of kind of like a little tea bag. And each one so far has consisted of a different Disney pin, and she kind of made them custom to each one of our siblings. So I think one of my other siblings who likes Friends, they got a Friends thing. I'm not sure what the other siblings got.
Wait, how many siblings do you have?
There's four of us. So she would be making them for four.
Oh my gosh. She must like y'all.
Yeah. So I don't know how she made it, because I think she found one. Like it's an advent calendar that's already prepackaged, which is like 15 socks for 15 days or whatever. For Friends. For me, it looks like, I don't know if she bought something and repacked it or whatever. It doesn't matter, but it's super cute because it's all these different Disney pins and it goes 1 through 15. I'm not sure why it's 15. I think maybe just so everyone gets the same thing. But anyways, so I'm on day number, at the time of this recording, I'm on day number 6. And so far they've all been super cute. It's been heavily Mickey. There's been a Dopey one, and there's been a Daisy Duck and a Donald Duck.
How are you in day number 6?
Today's day 6. 5th. Well, I started when I first got it. So,
oh, okay. So, yeah, I was like, wait a second, that's not adding up.
Yeah, no. So I got it on November 30th. So I started it a day early.
September, yeah, all the days are getting blended.
Without realizing that I should have waited to December 1st. But anyway, so day 6 is today, which is Sunday. And I haven't opened that one yet, but hopefully I will. But it's super cute. it's a great sort of gift to open up daily. And I am a great believer in gifting yourself something every day, whether it's something physical, mental, spiritual, but it's a huge belief of mine to give yourself a little self-love every single day. And you know what's another way we can show self-love and also share self-love, or not self-love, love with our listeners out there?
Ice cream. But in this case, I'm going to go with Haikulaluyas.
Yes, it's our Haikulaluyas. And if you haven't guessed it already, I kind of quickly went through that little intro thing, but we are going to be discussing the articles of faith through the queer perspective of belief, because we are no longer in the Doctrine and Covenants. There's no more chapter. Well,
we are done.
We are done with the proper name of the Doctrine and Covenants, where it's named Doctrine and Covenants, because now we are in the articles of faith. So we are discussing that through the queer perspective of belief, which is pretty self-explanatory because all of them start with "we believe," or for the most part they are. But Renee, I just listened to last week's episode a few hours ago. Just I hadn't listened to it this week, so I do know who goes first. I go first this week because you went first last week. So if you'd like to continue that cadence, I'm happy to go first.
Let's do it. I do want to say, like, it feels like we're in the appendices now, right? With all these like varying topics that we're now talking about. So I just wanted to make a note of that, that I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And I always, for some reason, I always thought that the articles of faith were part of the Pearl of Great Price, but I think that's because it was the bridge between, like, you had the Doctrine and Covenants and then you had the articles of faith. And now that I think about it, the Pearl of Great Price is like Moses and all those extra translations to other books and stuff. So now I'm correcting myself. As a small child, it was just in between, so I figured it was one or the other. But anyways, here is my Haikulaluyas on the queer perspective of belief. Through God, we can learn and add strength to our belief that He loves us all.
Aw, yes. Actually, mine's kind of similar to yours a little bit, so I'm curious to see what you think.
Go for it.
Okay, so my Haikulaluyas from the point of the queer perspective of belief. I have a belief that light reveals the truth of the Lord's plan and love.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of, we were able to kind of make our own articles of faith, Article 14:15, coming from us as queer people of faith. But yes, so Renee, when you first hear the word belief as a queer person of faith, what first comes to mind?
I always think of like the things that I know, like, you know what I mean? The things that I believe, the things that have guide my thinking or my actions. So as a queer person of faith, a lot of the things that I believe are the things that are, that I've learned through believing in the Heavenly Father and the Lord, right? But then also just as a queer person, also like the things I believe about being open-minded and welcoming to differences and things like that. I feel like I've always liked how in the queer community, we use the rainbow, which is like so full of color and vibrancy and variety. So when I think of belief, I think of that. It's the coming of the differences and all this variety and beauty and joy with the belief that we have in our Heavenly Father and the plan that we have here on earth, you know? So that's what I think. How about you, Dustin? I'm curious.
I feel as a queer person of faith, our beliefs are, or we have the opportunity to really hone in and strengthen our beliefs. And that's because we have to really decide how much we want to believe something, or how much we're going to contribute into our beliefs that we have within the church, especially as queer people of faith, because I feel like straight members of the church kind of have it easier because everything that they kind of follow falls in line with our beliefs. Where us as queer people of faith, we have to combat our beliefs. We have to dissect our beliefs. We have to put them together. We have to overly sort of look at them and see exactly, do we still believe this? Or is there something that we need to find more personal revelation with? I feel like we have to almost earn our beliefs and earn our testimony, because it's not so easily given, because a lot of the time, a lot of other people's beliefs contradict or demean our own beliefs, especially as how we see God sees us. And I feel like that's a very tricky road to travel, because we get met with a lot of different adversaries, whether it's in or inside or outside the church. We get met with a lot of questions. We get met with a lot of mockery. We get met with a lot of judgment. And it could be frustrating, but I feel like the more we hold on to our beliefs and the more that we learn and pray on our beliefs, the stronger they are. And I think that we end up being some of the strongest examples of what Christ-like love is, because we go through exactly what he did. And I'm blanking on this exact scripture right now, but the scripture that he's saying, like, I was rejected by my own and people turned their backs on me and I was on the margins of society, or I was told I was wrong and that sort of thing. I think that's everything that queer people of faith kind of go through as well. And I really think that we are the closest to Christ-like love, or experiencing, embodying, or showing Christ-like love, because we really have to find empathy with one another. We go through so much adversity with each other, and we are always the first to kind of look out for those that are forgotten or left behind, because we've lived that. And I feel like Christ also exemplifies that as well.
I love that, because it's so true. When you said that, I was like, you know, that is true. It's like, even no matter where you are in your journey, you're constantly having to question the beliefs and discover them from yourself, from almost like the reconstructing everything you know. So it's like, we do have to work for it. Not saying that others don't, right? Because everyone's testimonies are challenged and their beliefs become, but we have to almost do it in a different level because of our queer experiences and the way that it's seen in the church culture and sometimes how it's directed at us through the commandments of the Lord, you know? So I really did like that. Thank you.
And that kind of leads us to the main discussion today, which is the articles of faith. And I have this, like, I think it's a made up memory. Every once in a while, I have these memories that I am so certain that they're true, but it turns out that I may have just made them up. One of them was like back in the day, before there were even iPads or stuff like that, I had this, I probably should have patented it, but I was like a sixth grader or something like that. I could be a millionaire by now, but it was like, it was basically an iPad or a personal device, PDA, personal something, whatever that's called. It was basically like a portable keyboard that you would type notes onto, and then you would hook it up to your computer, and then you could print out those notes. And I, for the life of me, thought this existed. And I looked all around, I couldn't find it. And it turns out it didn't exist. But then now we have laptops and iPads and all sort of stuff. So if I had just like invented it and patented it, I'd probably be a millionaire. But anyways, the reason why I brought that up is I had this origin story in my head about Joseph Smith and the reason why he wrote the Articles of Faith. I'm not going to get into it too much, because before we started recording, I was talking with Renee, and Renee had never heard this before. So I think I may have made it up. I also told him that it could be a mixture of the Articles of Faith and Mickey's origin story, because it involves a train and being on a train or something like that. So I'm not going to get into it any more than that, because I need to go back and do some research and see exactly where I saw this. But anyways, one of the origins of the Articles of Faith is to provide a centralized, very succinct place to show the core beliefs of our church that sets us apart from other churches. So when someone would come up to a member and be like, what do you believe? You have 13 articles of faith that kind of zero in on what we believe. And Renee, we went through all the 13 articles of faith to prep for this episode. They're super easy. They're super fast. What are some of the articles of faith that really jumped out at you, whether from a spiritual perspective or a queer perspective, or just some of your favorites that you've always had? I'll let you start. What are some of the ones that you kind of want to zero in on?
Well, one of my favorites, and it's because I think it's the one that's helped me just navigate my queer experience a ton, is actually the articles of faith, the first article of faith. I believe, and I'm going to use I because I truly believe this, I believe in God, the eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. I truly do believe that. I feel like my life would, that knowledge or that knowing of this fact has allowed my life to really be inspired and navigated. And I walk it with a lot more confidence. And it's like the sense of progression and growth that comes with just knowing that they're there with me at all times. So I know that's sometimes harder for others to believe because they're figures that are intangible and you can't see. But for me, my lived experiences, not just the things I've been taught, but literally how I felt, how I experienced life and what I've seen in it, leads me to believe that I know that I believe in God, the eternal Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. That's kind of one of my favorites. I'll share others, but kind of want to just share that because I want to hear if you had that one as one of yours.
I didn't because I did because I sort of if this is horrible for me to say, I sort of have that as a given. Like, yes, we believe in the God, the Eternal Father, and in the Holy Ghost. Oh, no.
That's like saying God, you take that for granted.
I know. I probably shouldn't. But it's, but I think that's one that just is like, yes, I believe this. It didn't really jump out at me, which it probably should, because that is the basis of our beliefs in our church. But yeah, so it wasn't one that I chose. I chose a couple other ones. But when you, I guess you weren't part of the church when you were little. When did you convert again?
When I was 19.
Okay, so you are past this point. But when I was growing up in the church, it was sort of like an achievement to memorize the Articles of Faith. Have you ever heard of this, where youth used to memorize the Articles of Faith and they got like a tie tack or like a necklace?
I will have to say, just a note for you, I may not have joined the church, but I grew up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So like all my friends had seminary, and like, so I know church culture without being in it, if that makes sense.
I keep forgetting that. But yeah, so you're very well aware of memorizing the Articles of Faith. But one thing that I did when I was little with my brother and sister at the time is they released, have you ever heard of them, the music version of the Articles of Faith?
Yeah.
Also, you heard them? Okay.
Yeah, we were just talking about it a couple days ago.
Yeah, and so that's how I memorized the Articles of Faith, and that's how I passed them off, is we got permission from the primary president. So we got, so the CD set for the Articles of Faith, I can't remember if they're official children's songbook songs. I don't think they are. I think they were written after the fact. There are musical versions of the Articles of Faith. So we got permission from the primary president, and the CD set came with a version with the words and a version without the words. So when we went to pass off the Articles of Faith, my mom brought in the version without the words, so like the karaoke version. And so I sang my Articles of Faith to pass them off. So now every time I read the Articles of Faith, it clicks into my brain and I hear the tune of the Articles of Faith, which I think is proven that you are able to memorize things with a tune attributed to them, because it connects different paths in your brain and locks it into memory easier. So all children should learn the Articles of Faith, the song. But it's funny because the one that I did, you, okay, first of all, sorry, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So you did Article of Faith number one. Did you choose any other one between that and Article of Faith number eight?
I did.
Okay, so I'll have you do yours again and we could just go in order, because the one that jumped out at me is eight. So I'll let you continue with the mic.
Ah, okay. So you jumped like way up there. Okay. Yeah. So, which makes sense, actually. Eight is one of mine as well. So the one that I also had for me was, we believe that the first principles and ordinance of the gospel are, first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for remission of sins. Fourth, laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. For me, that one was one of the most important things, like, I just learned, because like, they are, as a queer member of the church, it's also like those stepping stones that you're expected to live. And a lot of times those are always extended towards marriage and mission service and all these things. And a lot of people get affected really harshly by that. You might have been one of those who, you know, when people are like, sometimes find out you didn't serve a mission, especially if you're in Utah, you may get looks, right? Unless you had an explanation like the military or something. But what I love about this is that it makes it clear that these really are the principal ordinance of the gospel. If you have these, you're really pretty solid. You know what I mean? The rest are just like, they are important, and we do talk about them as their own commandments. But this just helps highlight that, you know, it's not always as intense as we feel like we make it feel like it is in the church. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
Yeah, no, you are. It's, everything else is sort of sprinkles on top of the sundae. But if you do these four things, you're pretty much set up for eternal salvation, basically, because those are the four things that you need to do. And it's basically, I think, just renewing them every Sunday is your sacramental renewal. So I think once you accomplish these four things, you're on a very good path to maintaining your eternal kind of salvation, that sort of thing. Yes, marriage comes into it, but that's still a tricky situation for a lot of people that aren't able to get married or don't have the opportunity to get married. But yes, these are the four things that if you accomplish this, and everyone can accomplish this, you are pretty much on a right path if you want to continue down on that path.
Mm-hmm. So that was the second one I picked. After that, my next one was eight. So okay, we can jump to yours.
But it's funny because now I'm reading these again, and I'm like, I'm thinking of the tune. So let's see if I can remember what eight is.
I'm impressed you still remember.
Let me see if I could do the first one that you did. He goes, "We believe in God, the eternal Father, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost."
Woo! Encore.
And then four is, "We believe that the first principles and ordinances of the gospel are, first, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. Third, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. Fourth, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Not that great, but it's there. It's there.
Well, because I've got the tune all over the place too. Okay, so here's eight. So it goes, "We believe the Bible to be the word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the word of God." It's funny because some are more upbeat than others. And this one is kind of like more on the minor chord sort of thing. But anyways, I'll just say it again. So it goes, "We believe the Bible to be the word of God as far as it is translated correctly. We also believe the Book of Mormon to be the word of God." And so I said, "As a queer person of faith, I know whenever God's words enter mortal hands, there is always a chance they can be translated or interpreted incorrectly. In times where I am unsure what to believe, I can always turn to him for the clarity I need." And the reason why I brought that up is because I know it's a huge topic right now, or it has been for a little bit. When someone brings up that homosexuality is a sin, and it says so in the Bible, there is now a rebuttal to that, where the word homosexuality technically was never in the original translations of the Bible because there wasn't a word for that back then. And it was in a more modern day translation where they decided to switch out that one word for the word homosexuality. So we know that there are times where the Bible in mortal hands has been translated incorrectly. So rereading this article of faith from a queer perspective in my adult years really helps me understand that sometimes those very controversial passages that are used to discriminate may be one of the ones that I shouldn't really focus on the most, because there may have been a quote unquote translation error. And we in this article of faith say that we believe in the words of the Bible and the Book of Mormon as long as they are translated correctly. And so there's certain things where the more that we learn, the more we can rely on God to kind of reassure us whether or not this is the path to go. Now, I'm not saying you can pick and choose like, oh, now I can do this because there might be a chance it's translated wrong. But if we have documentation of a false translation, that should be reason enough for us to kind of question it and then go to God and see, should we continue down this path? And only we can really know what he tells us. And so that's the reason why I kind of chose that one, is because there are some translation errors, like even within the Book of Mormon or even with the Bible, we had to go back and rewrite some of those words because further clarity was given. That's why there's the Joseph Smith translation. And that's why there's a couple versions of the Book of Mormon, because certain things had to be sort of fixed. Like when the first 116 pages were lost, like we had to retranslate something else and that sort of thing. So I really think that that's a good one that I really resonate with as well, especially in this day and age. So you said you also chose Article of Faith number 8. Why is that?
For me, it's because of the affirming nature of the Book of Mormon. I do believe that in each dispensation, Heavenly Father has always given a way for his children to know that it comes from him. And so for me, knowing that the Book of Mormon is the word of God was that, especially as part of my conversion story. And I think whenever I am learning further about our queer experience, I feel like the Book of Mormon has always made me feel more, even though it does have its own issues, especially in regards to race and things like that, it has made me feel more included as a queer individual than the Bible ever has. And growing up Catholic, where the Bible was the main focus and, you know, language against homosexuality, like you highlighted, was very much focused on, the Book of Mormon gave me a good sense of self that extended beyond my queerness in a way. So I really came to respect the Book of Mormon and the Bible once I was more, my testimony was a lot stronger in my spiritual sense. But yeah, so that's why I picked it.
Yeah, and also there's no mention of homosexuality in the Book of Mormon. So that's another, exactly. thing too, is because we can believe wholeheartedly in these things. And that's another thing too about translated mistranslation is the whole color of the Lamanite skin. That was a misinterpretation as well, which we're now correcting and we're starting to have accountability for within the church. So that's another thing too, is these words are true as long as they're translated correctly. And if they aren't, we're called as members of the church to go back and fix those things. So that's, I think, another thing that comes out of this article of faith.
I was going to say my next one is number 9, which is probably yours too.
It is.
It's a very likely one that we both would have, I figured. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah, you can go for it.
Number 9, we believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For me, that is beautiful, especially the idea that he's yet to reveal great things, especially because one of the biggest things that I struggle with is that there's not a lot of guidance for his queer children. And when I say that, I mean, individually, I feel guided by him. I meant in regards to the church itself, right? The general messaging. I've always felt that there is yet things that will come to be light that will allow us to, in time, and when the Lord's plan, Heavenly Father's plan and everything, things will be revealed in.
Mine were along that same road as far as what I got out of that article of faith. And it's the, again, the song kicks into my head right now. And I know this isn't Dustin Karaoke Hour, but it's how I remember how to say it as well. But it goes, we believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But anyways, I said, as a queer person of faith, I believe that much has yet to be revealed regarding my place in his great plan. This gives me tremendous hope for the future, and this hope is what keeps the fire to keep fighting for my community burning bright. I know, as queer people of faith, it can be very exhausting to continue answering the same questions over and over again, to continue defending our existence over and over again, and having very little progression. And then when we do have progress, we take like 5 steps back because of comments that are made and beliefs that are still had. And so it gets exhausting. But if we keep reminding ourselves that no one has all the answers, especially pertaining to queer people of faith, that gives me enough hope to continue, at least in my journey of being a queer person of faith. I know every once in a while it gets super overwhelming to feel like my journey has to be everyone's journey. And if I kind of take a step back, progress won't happen. And that's not the case at all. So I feel like by knowing that not everything has been revealed yet, it gives us almost the permission to take a step back from the cause if we need it to help with our mental and spiritual health, to know that just because we're kind of taking a break from being at the forefront of queer acceptance, that won't stop the progression. And we still have a lot to learn. And so that really gave me a lot of faith and a lot of hope back into these kind of trying times where it feels like nothing we do is creating the progress that we need. It's laying the foundation for more to be revealed, and to just continue to remind ourselves that Joseph Smith believed this back in the day, and it's something that we continue to believe today, because that is what makes us a living and growing church. And I think that's something that sets us apart from other churches. Us as a living church, we need to not forget that that's exactly what a living church means, is it grows, it progresses, it changes, it thrives, it survives, it does all those things. And the moment we start to stay stagnant and feel like we know everything, that's the moment where we need to shake ourselves out of that, because there are people in the Book of Mormon that believe that same thing, and look what happened to them. And they're a warning to us to not be complacent with what we have now and to continue looking for more. So that's what I get out of Article of Faith number 9. And I only have one more, and it's the 13th. So if you have any other ones.
Okay,
so I'll let you say the 13th Article of Faith, which is also the longest one, I think.
it's because it's the summation of it all, right? Like, it's the wrap up. Number 13, we believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things. We hope all things. We have endured many things. I hope to be able to endure all things. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. Joseph Smith.
Yes. And I love that one too, because like you said, it is a summation of everything, but it also says what we should strive to be. And nowhere does it say love you conditionally. Nowhere does it say we accept all except for those that don't fit within our status quo. It says everything, all. It says all things. Like, we need to show hope, love, faith towards everything that is honest, chaste, malevolent, virtuous, and doing good to all men. Like, it's those things. Like, it's not conditional. It's those that bring about peace and acceptance for everybody. And if that means standing up for someone else's rights, and that's in the Articles of Faith as well, like, we are supposed to be obeyers of the law of the land. I can't remember exactly those words, but that makes us a true member of the church. And if we feel like this is the true church and we are disciples of Christ, we need to make sure that we fight for the rights of everybody. And we need to kind of go back and do some soul searching if we've sort of lost that focus. And I really think as members of the church, both queer and straight, both in and outside of the church, maybe share this with your friends, like, this is what I believe our church is. We need to go back to these 13 articles of faith and really learn about our foundation of this is what we believe as a church back then. This is what we believe now. And nothing really has changed. Like, if we continue to follow these beliefs, I think we'd be in a very good place, because it's living as a Zion community before we transfer it over into the afterlife. And that's something that I forgot to bring up on last week's episode too, is when Joseph Smith and Joseph F. Smith asked what happens in the afterlife. It's basically Zion. They were seeing how Zion was on the next side, and it showed us how we could start living like that on this side of the veil as well, which was one of the missions of Brigham Young's daughter, Sousa Young Gates, where she was, once she got this revelation from Joseph F. Smith, she's like, we can start doing that now on this side of the veil, exactly what you saw, the living as Zion, one heart, one mind, and trying to make sure everybody was on the same page. We can start doing that now in the here and now, and do it for those that have already passed. So that's another thing too, that I'm really grateful for, is if we go back to these beliefs of the 13 Articles of Faith, we can start living that Zion-like life in order to prepare ourselves for it in the afterlife, because we won't be able to live it in the next life if we haven't started building that foundation now. And one of the ways we can do that is by continuing to live the beliefs of these Articles of Faith.
I love that. And that's how honestly, like, I felt about this one too. It was the idea that our end goal in all the Articles of Faith is really to seek after the things that are of good report and praiseworthy, lovely and virtuous. I love that, because it opens up to the idea that sometimes we can't capture everything in 13 Articles of Faith, but when we're chasing after those good things, we are going to end up being the saints that we're striving to be. And we really can impact the lives of everyone on the planet, whether they believe what we believe, whether they are in a different state of their faith journey or their queer journey. We can really be there, show up the right way, you know, for all these individuals. So I really loved it. And so that's why it caught my eye. I was like, I wish we would repeat this as almost as a mantra in our ward meetings right at the beginning. Not that we do that, but it's just be like, we believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and doing good to all men, including the queer ones. Like, you know, like, throw that in there. But so those are my thoughts.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. And I do feel like it's something that we should constantly revisit. So that way we keep it fresh in our minds, because exactly what you just said. Yeah. And I think right now is a good time to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. Renee and I have just finished discussing the Articles of Faith through the queer perspective of belief. And Renee, based on what we discussed today, what do you feel called to do?
I feel called to learn this jingle, because I haven't heard it really officially. I just know about it. I'm going to YouTube it, see if I can find it, to see how accurate Dustin was. I'll report back to y'all next time we record.
I will admit I'm a little shaky on the openings. And I don't know why, like the "we believe" that part. But once I get my engine revving, then I'm pretty good towards the end, because I remember those tunes. But yes. But anyways, is that your whole calling, is just to call me out on whether or not I got the tune right?
Gosh, I would love to learn the Articles of Faith, because I know them, but I've never officially tried to learn them all. And actually, part of me would like to connect to that part of church culture that I didn't experience since I'm a convert, slash, because just having this conversation on the podcast just made me realize that sometimes when I could ask questions about the church, the articles of faith are a really good way to respond. And I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I think at some point I must have known that and just forgot. And just this opportunity that we've had with the podcast gives me a chance to link it to my queer experience as well, which has been really nice. So that's mostly my real call to arms, but the other one's a bonus.
Oh, thank you. I feel called to, and I mentioned this to you earlier, is to go back and research a little of the origin story of why the Articles of Faith came to be. One, to put myself straight, or not straight, I shouldn't say that, to correct myself, to correct myself on this origin story that I have in my head, like to make sure I remedy what it is, and to also kind of share some things of why the Articles of Faith came to be. I know there's a bunch of different reasons, but I think I need to brush up on the reasons why we have the Articles of Faith more than just sharing it. I like the stories behind things too. So it's more than just sharing our beliefs in a succinct, focused way, but also what led up to it. Like, what was the questions Joseph Smith was pondering in order to come about these Articles of Faith and that sort of thing. So I'm going to go back and find the true origin story, not the one I made up in my head. And listeners out there, if you'd like to share your favorite articles of faith or how you relate to articles of faith now as a queer person of faith, or if you've revisited the articles of faith for the first time as an adult since you learned them as a child, feel free to send in your impressions to lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or you can find us on social, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And before we leave our listeners, Renee, do you have any last words of wisdom for them to take with them throughout the rest of the week?
Not wisdom, but I do want to say, if you do find out what the real origin story is, please report.
Okay, so that's homework for me and you, listeners. But anyways, the last thing we have to do is thank our listeners for listening, and remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time.
Ciao.
Bye. You just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.